All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. March 17th, 2024. Beautiful, 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 spectacular, fantastic day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Sunday morning. Thought I would come down, have a little chat. I did get up this morning. Got up at 6:30. Went for a nice walk. Walked probably 3 miles. Went down to the state park, hit the trail, and just just walked. No running. Just taking some time to myself to think and relax and just enjoy this wonderful, beautiful life that I get to live in. And it's all 100% because of sobriety and recovery and serenity and all of those wonderful things that come with that commitment. And I'm just enjoying it. And it's just awesome. It's great to walk down a trail to be free of anxiety and fear and worry, and especially the ones that I cause. Right? Those are the worst ones. I don't mind dealing with life as it comes at me. Life on life's terms is fine. I can figure that out. This program has taught me how to handle that. But it's the dumb shit that I create. And today the walk did not include thinking about dumb shit that I've done today. Thank God. Right. It is the end of the week. Went to a meeting last night. I'm sort of wrapping up the week. It's been a six-step kind of week, man. We had a good friend of mine spoke last night on the sixth step, and it was a great meeting. Sort of bummed out. That meeting is down in the town where we live, which is, you know, at the beach, right? And we are starting to come out of winter, and the people are starting to come out of their houses, right? Come down from wherever they're at down to the beach, and we're starting to fill up, and traffic's starting to pick up. And one of the issues down there is parking, and it's starting to evolve to the monster that it becomes, which is a parking nightmare. So I'm sort of bummed that listen, we had a couple nice days. All of a sudden, we got to get our beach towels out. No, we're a bit away from summer, but I can tell the change is starting to take place. So, you know, I'm a little bummed. I really enjoy that meeting, but I am not going down there in the summer. Summer is too crazy. There is no place to park. It's a freaking headache. And I don't mind inconveniencing myself for this program and recovery, but I also appreciate that if I need to, I can find another meeting. And that was sort of the deal with my friend who's running that meeting, and I told her, listen, I'm not going to do this during the summer. So starting to think about that, that's sort of a bummer. I do enjoy that meeting. It's so small and super intimate. Intimate, right? Is that the right word? It's an intimate meeting. It's small, few people. Everyone gets to share, and it's very thoughtful, and I really enjoy it. So we'll see how much longer I go to that meeting, but I was there last night, and it was awesome, and we did talk about the sixth step. And, you know, I've been talking sort of about the sixth step all week. It's such a freaking game changer. And, you know, one of the things, every time I hear, you know, because I can get, you know, I have my thoughts, right? I read, I think, I evolve, right? I think about the guy who dealt with the sixth step however many years ago. I think about the guy that dealt with the sixth step, you know, 10 years ago. I think about the guy who dealt with the sixth step 5 years ago. And I think about the guy that deals with the sixth step today and the evolution of me, right? The words have not changed. The idea has not changed. I have changed. And whether it's for the good or for bad, I look at things differently compared to how I used to look. And one of the biggest changes for me really has been how I look at the sixth step.
Okay, so I was wrong about my reasons for us falling out of love. I want to fall back in. My life is different now, I swear. I know now what it means to care about somebody other than myself. I know the things I said to you, they were untender and untrue. I'd like to see those things undo. So if you could find it in your heart to to give a man a second start. I promise things won't end the same. Shame, boatloads of shame, day after day, more of the same. Blame,
blame,
please lift it off.
Please
take it off. Please make it stop.
Okay, so I have read the mail, the stories people often tell about us that we never knew.
But their existence will float away, and just like every word they say, and we will hold hands as they fade. That's right, that's right.
Oh my God, what a great song. My God, I love that band, the Avett Brothers. Holy cow. But yeah, this is where really, you know, this is where it starts identifying those thoughts that create that shame. And, you know, it's funny. I think in one of the evolutions of my recovery and my position and what I've learned and all the great things that have come from this is that, you know, when I came into this program and started doing, especially like, you know, the fourth and the fifth, in the sixth and the seventh step, really, you know, where we start that moral inventory and, you know, sharing it with somebody else and then start working on these character defects. You know, it was always this list of all the bad things about me, right? It was always such a punishing, the 12 steps early on in my recovery. And I didn't say that out loud, but it was my position. It was always like, yeah, let's sit down and write a list of all the bad things about me, right? It was always victim Tom. Poor Tom. I have a lot of history in identifying all the bad things about me. I've been doing it my whole life, right? The choices that I've made, the paths that I've gone down, in the end, have always led to me sitting down, looking at my behavior, right? And so why not this be just one more version of that? And, you know, it's as complicated as it is, right? As complicated as I am, as complicated as life is, and as complicated it is to get sober and find recovery, it's really, unfortunately, it's pretty freaking simple, right? It's this spiritual malady, this life of self, really, to transform into a life of humility, a life of the devil over to a life of God, really. And that's basically it, right? And how would we ever do that, right? And so it is important to identify, you know, to look at this as this list of all the bad things that I've done. And I did that for a long time. But I've evolved, right? And today, really, it's about finding this place, right? And, you know, I've had to sit down and really try to figure out what's the point of all this, right? What's my end goal? Why am I even here, right? I came into this program. It's almost like, you know, that big crowd of people all going through the door and you just sort of get swept through. That's sort of how my early recovery was. It just seemed like the thing to do. It didn't seem like I had a lot of options. It didn't hurt. It wasn't horrible. I just kind of went with it, and we will see where I ended up, right? And I did that for a long time. But eventually, right, you get enough time, the mind clears out, you work with enough people, you read these steps enough times. I can meet 9 people in a program, and I meet that 10th person, and they can say something that really flips a switch. You're like, oh, wow, right? And so the sixth step, all, you know, 4, 5, 6, and 7 have stopped being the list of all the bad things that I am. And now it's become the list of things that I want to avoid to protect this place of serenity that I have moments in, right? I'm not 100% serene, right? I have moments. But I know today what affects it, right? It isn't about this huge list of all the bad things that I've done. It's really a list of now of all the things that affect my relationship, me holding the hand of God, right? And really, like, if I want to start over, right, if I want to be better, if I want to do something better, if I want to be a better race car driver, if I want to be a better runner, if I want to be, you know, a better paddler, right? I have to learn the things that I'm doing that are stopping me from being that, right? If I'm going to paddle, I'll use paddling as an example. We paddled yesterday. It was amazing, right? But I have character defects in my paddling. That doesn't mean we're going to sink. It doesn't mean we aren't going to get the job done. But if we want to get to a place, right, and I'm not going to compare, you know, being an amazing paddler to Serenity, but if there's an end goal and the goal is to go faster, I have got to address my paddling character defects, right? And, you know, for me, it's, you know, am I getting my hand over the paddle outside along the boat? You know, there's different things, and I won't get into all that, but it's just an easy example for me to understand. It's not that I'm a bad paddler, but I do need to adjust some things if I want to become a better paddler. And it's the same thing in recovery. I said this the other day. You know, I use the example of my car, right? You know, I enjoy driving a car. I enjoy my car. I think we all do. It's one of the few things that we get to have that we, if we have one, I don't know. I shouldn't speak like everybody has a car, but I have one. I pay for it, and I enjoy it. And it can drive. But if a tire goes flat, or let's say a tire is even low, right? All of a sudden, the car is not driving as well as it used to, right? It's not performing. It's not existing in that optimal place, right? And, you know, I can drive around for a week on a low tire. Nice thing about my car and a lot of cars today, they'll tell you, your tire's low. And I'll continue, right? I continue to drive on a low tire, especially in the winter, right? It's like a 2 pounds low. And you're like, geez, right? But we'll do it. My wife's like, my tire's low. Can you pump it up? And she'll drive for a week with it like that. You know, not flat, right? Still drivable. But the little light is telling us, hey, your tire's low. And it's a lot like recovery, right? I can still exist. I don't have to pick up a drink. I don't have to be a complete asshole. But I can have these moments where I still live in moments of fear, right? And that's the other thing. The evolution that's happened is that I've learned for me today, it's really about removing fear, right? I can be, you know, today I live a decent life, right? I'm not perfect. I'm far, far from perfect. You know, I can have mean thoughts. I can have mean behavior. I can, you know, be short. I can be inconvenienced. All these things that can happen, right? You know, I used the example last night going down to the meeting that there's a point, right? And I'm peaceful, right? I'm in a serene spot. I'm headed to a meeting. But there's a point where to go into the town where we have the meeting, there's two lanes that eventually have to force into one lane. We all know this lane, right? We all have had these spots where two lanes merge into one, and it's a, you know, it's a thing, right? And you got the guy to your right, you know, if you're on the left side and you got to merge over to the right, you know, you're squaring up trying to figure out who you're going to squeeze in between, or are you just going to floor it and get in front of everybody, right? And if you're in the right lane, knowing that the person on the left lane has to get over, you're like, well, I'm not letting this person in, right? Or whatever it is, right? But at some point, feelings get affected, right? And so, you know, as a simple situation as that, and then sometimes you have to squeeze in and cut somebody off, and then fear starts, right? Oh, my God. You know, are they going to be upset? Should I have done that? Was that wrong? Should I have waited? Fear starts creeping back in. Issues start creeping back in. And all of a sudden, we're not in our serenity. We're not in that great spot with peace and love, right? Now, fear has crept back in. As simple as that is, right? Nobody thinks about that. Who gives a shit, right? You know, on to the next project. You know, once everybody's merged, we're on into the town and nobody cares. But these little things can start to build up, right? I just use this as an example because I think that happens to us whether we're an alcoholic or not an alcoholic, right? Sarcasm was another example. I was a very sarcastic person, right? I thought, and in my world, when I found sarcasm, I thought I was being funny, right? I wanted to be part of. I thought it was clever, right? I thought it was funny. I made people laugh. And if I made people laugh, then that means I was part of. Never realizing that I was doing this at the expense of somebody else's feelings, right? And if I ever did realize it, I'd be like, you know, toughen up, bro. Suck it up, right? I still know people like that in the program. And with a lot of time, right? I know people with a lot of time that are still like that, sarcastic at other people's expense. And then when you call them out on that shit, they're like, you know, toughen up, man. It's just kidding, right? It's just a joke. And it is, right? Right? And I should. Maybe I need to toughen up. But I don't need to do that today, right? But I thought that it was fine, right? Until somebody called me out on it and explained. You know, that hurts people's feelings. I think, you know, I said this the other day. It's a tearing of flesh. I was completely unaware of that. How could I be aware of it when all I think about is myself? How am I going to get to the top of the mountain? Who do I have to climb over? Do I even care? No, right? At anybody else's expense, just as long as I feel better and I'm feeling like I'm improving myself. And that's how I lived. And today I don't live like that. And so I'm not sarcastic to people. I don't make people feel bad about themselves so that I can feel better about myself, right? Because as soon as I do, right? As soon as I do today, I feel fear, right? If I'm sarcastic and I make fun of somebody else, at the end, I feel bad. I feel bad about it. I have let go of the hand of God, right? And I think, you know, for me, the big thing was, is that, and I said this the other day, and I'll say it again, you know, for the sixth step, it's interesting because it's always been about this list, right? But it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And I said this, I think, the other day. I'm fine with we're entirely ready, and I'm fine with these defects of character. But to have God remove them, that's tough because I haven't had a lot of success with that. I haven't had a lot of success with my relationship. In fact, I've never had one. I have never been able to close my eyes and say a prayer and have communication with God. Right? It's because self is behind it, and they just don't work, right? And so that has been the biggest, and honestly, besides, you know, if I had a top three list of the most amazing things that I've gotten out of this program, one would be that I don't drink and drive, right? That's the main reason I came here. That was the main reason I stayed, right? The second would be my relationship that I have now with God, right? And honestly, I'd probably push that to the top, right? The top three amazing things that have happened because of this program. One, stop drinking and driving. You know, two, a relationship with God. And three, just this awareness, right, of how bad I was. Right. Top three reasons I stay in this program. My second one would move to the top, this relationship with God. Right. That's really, honestly, there is no other reasons why I stay. It's that relationship, because that relationship is all through the day, right? I woke up this morning. I did not wake up in fear. The alarm did not go off. I woke up with curiosity and joy and excitement that I could get up and go for an adventure and a walk and just be free on the land. No hangover, no headache, no crashed cars, no, you know, shit I got to clean up from last night. It's just a peaceful place of serenity. I woke up this morning and I just got to go for a walk, right? And that's awesome. I am so thrilled with that, right? I never expected that. It doesn't take much to knock me off that. And it's usually these character defects of mine. And, you know, they're not so bad today, but they're still around. I've talked about them endlessly on this podcast. I wish my first thought wasn't one of always so bad, right? I do think that way. But, you know, today I've, as a person in recovery and who has lived a life of sobriety, right, because I do think there's a life of sobriety, right, and I think when I'm sober in my early days of being in the life of sobriety, I still was thinking of these, the 4, 5, 6, and 7 lists of just lists of bad things about me, right? But as I've reached into serenity, right, in this new relationship with God that I'm very protective of, right, it's not about a list of all the bad things. Now it's a list of the things that keeps me from losing the hand of God. And it's just that transition, right? I don't have to be a victim anymore, right? I don't have to be punished. This is not a punishing program. I do not have a punishing God, right? If I clean up my life, if I live a decent life, simple little rules, I can have the hand of God, right? If I want to be sarcastic, you know, be late, be a smart mouth, steal, eat too much, think of too much about sex, you know, money, greed. God's like, dude, I am not holding your hand. You go live with that. And that's an unfortunate, unpleasant place to be, right? And I don't like that. That's driving my car with a flat tire. I love my world, and I'm going to protect my wheels, right? And those wheels start to go low, I get them filled up because I don't want to lose that happiness, right? And the car is just an example, right? Cars are not important. Sobriety, recovery, serenity is what's important. But I'm just using that as an example where I think we can all relate, right? We've all have a car. We've all used a car. And when something goes wrong with that car, the world falls apart. And that's the same thing with my recovery. But these are these steps until I made that transition from this punishing steps, right, into more of a, lighting the path to serenity. Until I made that transition, I was just hanging out, right? But now I get to be part of it and I get to see it. And now it really reflects in my life and everything that I do. I'm not perfect at it, right? I'm still a human, right? I am nothing, just another bozo on the bus. And I have glimpses, right? And over time, I've had glimpses of serenity. And sometimes it lasts a little longer. And then I start seeing a little longer. And then I start seeing what takes it away. And it's these character defects. So it's great to go through these things because for a good fresh start, I came in this program so fucked up, right? So fucked up. I walked way into the woods. Right. It takes as long to walk in as it does to walk out, and I walked way in there. And I've said this before, I didn't even want to get sober. Right? It'd be one thing if I was like, man, if I could just get sober, and I just can't, and struggled and struggled and struggled. Never wanted to get sober. Recognized that my life was a bit of a mess due to my behavior. Never wanted to change it. Right? So deeply possessed by that spirit, that dark spirit, the devil, so consumed by him that I just couldn't see anything, any clarity, right? Never wanted to get sober. Got sober because I got punched in the mouth, just sort of went with it. Stayed sober, right, for 4 years, drank in and out, back in and out. I've shared the story. Finally, right, finally coming in. And actually, and that was funny because the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, is worded in such a way that, of course, I believe that. Of course, right? Alcohol, unmanageable. I don't even know what I know what alcohol is. I don't even know what unmanageable is, right? Does that mean the same thing as getting caught and being in trouble? No, not really, right? I didn't come here and says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that I get caught too much. No, it says my life has become unmanageable. I didn't even know I had no life, right? My life became unmanageable when I got sober and went back out. That became unmanageable, right? But prior to that, I just heard alcohol, unmanageable. We used to joke about being an alcoholic, right? I just thought an alcoholic was someone that slipped in the gutter and drank out of a brown paper bag, right? So a lot of things have transitioned in my mind and in my spirit. I have a spiritual relationship today with God that I, first of all, could have never imagined, right? Because it doesn't come from a place of self. It comes hopefully from a place of humility, right? And if you have that place of humility, if you can start to transition into a place of humility and less a victim of alcohol, we can start to look at these opportunities, right? These 4, 5, 6, and 7 opportunities to really identify the character defects that we have and can keep if you would like, right? You can keep all of your character defects, but just know that it's keeping you from reaching that place, right? And if you get glimpses of it, if you stick around long enough and you stay sober long enough and you do this long enough, you will get glimpses of serenity. And then you will start to feel and see behaviors that pop up that take it away. And that's what these steps for me are really good for. This 6 and 7 step are awesome, right? These really give us an opportunity. It's like, hey, let's in a nice, friendly place, make a list of all the things that keep fucking you, screwing you over from having that relationship with God. And if you can look at it that way, it's exactly what it does. And it's just fantastic. But I tell you what, you can also overthink these things. I hear people overthink it all the time, and it's crazy. What time is it? So enjoy. Listen, if you're on the 4th and 5th, 6th and 7th, enjoy it. You know, it's freaking, it's an amazing gift. And, you know, it, but it's, you know, it's not, you know, don't think of it as a punishing steps, right? These aren't the steps to point out all the shit that are bad about you. These are the things that help us recognize things that come up that end up having us let go of the hand of God. And eventually that becomes very important to us, right? All right, let me see if I can read the daily reflections. My wife just texted me. I don't know what the hell to do without spending money. I agree. Excuse me. It is a battle, right? Daily reflections. Except, all right, mysterious ways, March 17th. Out of every season of grief or suffering, when the hand of God seemed heavy or even unjust, new lessons for living were learned. New resources of courage were uncovered, and that finally the conviction came that God does move in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Right. Yeah, these are really just lessons. Yeah, this is, yeah. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 105. After losing my career, family, and health, I remained unconvinced that my way of life needed a second look. My drinking and other drug use were killing me, but I had never met a recovering person or an AA member I thought was destined to die alone and that deserved it. At the peak of my despair, my infant son became critically ill with a rare disease. Doctors' efforts to help him proved useless. I doubled my efforts to block my feelings, but now the alcohol had stopped working. I was left staring into God's eyes, begging for help. My introduction to AA came within days, through an odd series of coincidences, and I have remained sober ever since. My son lived, and his disease is in remission. The entire episode convinced me of my powerlessness and the unmanageability of my life. Today, my son and I thank God for his intervention. Yeah, that's great. I hope he worked the steps, right? Anyway, I appreciate it. Hey, have a great day. Enjoy these steps, man. Enjoy them. Really learn from them. Be a better person, right? Be a better, you know, like I said, I had to figure out what my point of being here was, right? If it's just so I don't drink and drive, I solve that. And it's a good goal. But there's more, right? And we can learn from these steps to be better, whether it's in this program or with our family, in our job, whatever it is we do, we can be better. And not because we're in trouble, right? It's because we just want to be better. Hey.
Hey.
Have a great day. Later.
somebody's helping hand. Don't say you don't. I used to say just let them fall. It wouldn't bother me at all.